The clock is ticking on a real problem in this country. We have a deficit that is growing larger every year. The government is spending $1 trillion more than it takes in. We need to solve that problem. Join Les Winston and Peter Mendez and learn about social security. Visit socialsecurity.org right now and find out why it's important for you to do some planning now to figure out how to solve this problem by using charitable resources. That's socialsecurity.org. Now, here's Les Winston.
Welcome to the Dow American Network. And it's another day in the coronavirus crisis. And the Congress has passed a $3 trillion bill to help us out of the coronavirus. A lot of that is going to go to increase our national debt. And we've been discussing a national debt here on the Dow American Network that was a little over $23 trillion. And now we're talking about $26 trillion. So our problem is getting deeper, and the way out of the problem has probably been solved a long time ago by Congress in 1969 when they created a section of the tax code, Section 664. And in that section of the code, Congress understood that we would face these kinds of crises and that they, as a federal government, would be able to do just so much, and that a lot of the needs that the community has would have to be satisfied at the community level. And so they wanted us to build the charitable wealth of the country, and that's why they created Section 664. And Section 664 is a little bit like a Section 529 or a Section 401k. They're a section of the tax code which gives you an opportunity to increase your income for later on and reduce your taxes now, as well as to do something for the community when you're no longer in need of the income when you're gone. So basically, what they said was there's no reason for anybody on the planet not to be in the ear of human kindness and not to help others when they leave the planet. And rather than leave it to the government, leave it to your community. And that's what this is all about. We like to talk about 664, not war, because 664 was created to increase the charitable wealth in the country while also building the ear of human kindness, where we are not at war with one, where there are no wars, where even the small wars don't exist. And when we talk about war, we're not just talking about countries fighting, but also the war that's caused when a young man can walk into a school and kill 17 of his classmates with an automatic weapon. That's a form of war as well. We need to stop that as well. And that's done by funding the community, by helping the community endow the needs of the community. And that means building charitable wealth. Not just giving to charity for today's use, though that's very important, but also building the future wealth through charitable giving, building the future wealth of the country by endowing the nonprofit organizations so they are constantly funded. We need to go from a country that's now $26 trillion in debt to a country that has endowment at $30 trillion. That's a big swing, and that's a paradigm shift we'll need to consider. That paradigm shift can be done actually painlessly. Because if we do what the government has prescribed for us to do in the section of the tax code, Section 664, we can make ourselves have better lives later on because we'll have more income, and we can reduce the taxes that we pay now and use that for income building later on, and we can leave something behind to the community that will do something very good to endow the charities in the future. That's what the plan is. We want to endow America using social security, which is Section 664 of the tax code. We like to call that social security. I know that's a term that you haven't heard before, and it sounds like social security, and that's because it's very similar to social security. It does things that social security doesn't do. One of the things it does is it leaves behind a legacy for anybody that's in the social security system. Social security's legacy is basically where your money gets absorbed and paid out to others. So the question is, how are we going to change? How are we going to make this generational shift? How are we going to shift this paradigm? And I believe that it's up to this generation, the new generation, the younger generation, to be the lead in this. And that's why Social Security will be the next generation Social Security. My guest host and my regular host, co-host with me, is Peter Mendez. And Peter, we've talked about this for a long time. This has been the mantra that we've been operating on the program. But bringing it down to a local level and bringing it down to the local business level. One of the things that I read today in the Wall Street Journal, that the jobs at risk, jobs in need, the jobs lost risk from COVID-19, in the leisure and hospitality industry, it's 16.9 million jobs. And I know that your company, First SOS Staffing, does that kind of employment. So what is your response to that need?
Well, first of all, thank you very much for allowing me the privilege of joining here, Les. I think that what you speak of is seminally important for our society and our country at large. You made reference to a war on using charity or a charitable spirit to help overcome a traditional war. But in addition to that, a war on poverty. But as responsible citizens, we also have to think in terms of waging a war against anything that is adverse to our society, a war on effective education, for example. It's important for us to be able to create net producers to society as opposed to individuals that are a net cost to us. When a young black man ends up in jail instead of at an Ivy League school as a result of lack of effective early education, that maintaining that individual in jail over his lifetime is more costly to us as a society at large than it is for us to invest in the effective education for that individual at an early age. And as such, charity is the most effective way, or one of the most effective ways to help propel that. And I couldn't imagine a more appropriate time to bring that to light than what we're undergoing now, because in an effort, when you made reference to that 16.9 million jobs that have been lost, we are in the business of providing work or connecting individuals which are looking for work with companies that have openings. We happen to specialize here in the South Florida area in the hospitality industry, which, as you know, you can imagine, is phenomenally hard hit. A significant portion of our personnel is out of work currently. We've been making an effort to migrate the emphasis from hospitality to manufacturing, light industrial, which have not been as impacted by this crisis. And nevertheless, that's still a challenge that leaves a lot of people without immediate incomes. So we have been looking out or reaching out to organizations that we thought would have charitable arrangements to help individuals that have difficulty with buying food, paying for their rent, getting medical treatment, things along those lines. Of course, there are government programs out there for that. But this is a time for when charitable organizations should thrive. And we need to look into the future. There may be additional crises like this in the future. It has happened more frequently within the last 30 years or so. And as such, it's not necessarily for addressing crisis, but for us to be able to move forward as a nation. When you talk about the addition of an extra $6 trillion to our national debt, the only reason for which that isn't diluting the buying power of the American dollar is because people believe that it still has value, it still has worth. But from that perspective, we need to create fundamental value, and that is done by developing assets within our community, within our society at large.
So the focus is on education. One of the things that we've talked about many times is the concept of safe schools, great schools, which is one of the instrumental 501c3s that we work with through Social Security and through the Endow America Network. And Safe Schools, Great Schools' objective is to help fund schools in Florida, public schools in Florida, by creating another resource other than the tax resource to be able to help make the schools safer and greater. We're where the possibility of building endowment for each school exists. The question is whether the community wants to support that school long term and do what's necessary for that school to have an endowment. In doing so, they also benefit themselves, and that's one of the things that Social Charity, what's important about Social Charity is that it helps both parties. So if we can build an endowment that will help make the schools better without it being more tax on the individuals, and then because we have better educated students, we have better educated workers, and we have better educated professionals going forward, or we have safer situations where we don't have the lost students, that's in line with what you're talking about. That's what in line with what you see as the future. From getting qualified to be able to get qualified people to be able to handle. I mean, I think there's a paradigm shift in a lot of ways going on, and maybe this COVID virus is the switch that was necessary to bring everybody to their senses, in a sense that we now understand that as much as we can rely on federal government, we see that there's an impossible task there. It's almost an impossible dream. They have limitations on what they can do, and I think that's what we're finding out, and that's what we should learn from this. Those limitations are actually not limitations of their inability, but their limitations caused by overreaching, by having to do more than they need to do in other areas. So at times of a crisis like this, where we have no surplus and we have no ability to be able to fund this without going further in debt, that creates additional problems. So we need to have the $30 trillion that we're talking about in endowment and get rid of this $26 trillion debt. Peter, let's talk a little bit more about how is the change going to be communicated? How do we see communication with the employee, with the stockpile of employees to see where they understand what it is that we're doing and how to help in their process? In other words, what you need, what we're talking about with Social Charity, what we're talking about with Safe Schools, Great Schools, how does that interplay with what you're seeing in the employee community now?
Well, imagine, for example, if instead of our having waited for Congress for the last 2 weeks or so to enact this bailout package, if our society at large had already been prepared by having local charitable organizations dedicated toward helping individuals directly. One of the things that we did in order to try and help our demographic, our staff that was out of work, was try to connect with as many charitable organizations that were out there that could put their finger on the pulse of what was hurting immediately. In addition to that, we reached out to easily 600 churches within the Broward and Miami area to see whether they had programs that might help our populations immediately. Would you believe that we've been at it for about 2 weeks and we have yet to find one church organization that says, we have a program that can feed the hungry in that regard, that can help people pay their rent, that can help with utilities or things along those lines. And admittedly, I acknowledge that there are government programs towards that, right? And we're directing people to those programs. But this is an ideal opportunity for charitable organizations to serve those that are in need. And if that isn't in place, then this is the time to begin to put those things in place. Imagine if instead of our having to wait those 2 weeks, those organizations had been in place already, and we would merely have stated, well, here are this amount of funds already allocated towards helping in such and in child care and such, whatever it happens to be. So we've been making efforts to try and connect people with whatever social resources happen to be out there. And it has to be a very much of a push initiative. We're using all of our social media channels in order to try and reach people and let them know that that resource is out there. We've established a hotline so that they can call in and ask or at least communicate what their sources of pain happen to be, and then we could connect them with whatever resource we've come up with. And we've put up links on our website to make certain that they become aware that these resources are out there.
Have they seen the resource of first alternative care?
Not as yet. You and I just discussed that yesterday of our collaborating on something in that regard. And I have yet to reach out to Michael to see that we can make some kind of an arrangement in addition to what may be available through the website.
So it's funny to me that you're both firsts. first SOS staffing and first alternative care. And I think it's the first in the country, because what we're doing is we're bringing together the possibility or the opportunity for employment and also for healthcare, and in a way that's usable. I think that's the most important thing, is whether or not help is usable. Is it reachable? And that's one of the differences between having the community directly involved at the community level, so that if we wanted to provide safe care, great care, for example, for our citizens, where they could go to a nonprofit organization like the local church or a local community center where they could get child care taken care of, where they could get help for their food, you know, go to a food bank, whatever it is. But those things do require funding, and that's where this is where it's necessary. Otherwise, what happens is the nonprofit is going out and trying to raise money at that time for that particular thing, and the energy that's being used to do that is a problem. So, and I think that this is a very important conference that we're going to have next Monday for people who are in the hospitality industry, who have lost their jobs, who are looking for employment, people in light industrial and things like that. We can help them with that, and who also may have lost their health care because they're not employed, or maybe they didn't have it when they were, but this is a way for them to get access to physicians through the telemedicine program. So absolutely. I think it's really a good timing. So the other thing that I wanted to talk about a little bit this morning has to do with the concept itself, Social Charity, and the way that Social Charity would work in a case like this. In other words, how do we create that charitable wealth using Social Charity devices? And this is where we have to be a little bit more educational, because we need to instruct you out there, the listening audience. We need to instruct you how to go about using the Social Charity devices, and how you can get Social Charity to help you with those problems. And the problems are relative. These are not urgent problems. These are problems that you think about, that may be in your, you know, in your mind all the time, but you don't really deal with them right away. And those are the problems of how you build more income for retirement, and also how do you, you know, utilize more of your money effectively. And a lot of people don't really pay attention to the taxes that they pay. And we certainly recommend that you do that. I know that, you get a paycheck sometimes, and you look at the paycheck, and it's got a pay stub, and you take the check, and you don't look at the pay stub. But on the pay stub, you'll see there's quite a bit of money that's withdrawn from your check each month to pay for certain things. And one of the things that it pays for, of course, is Social Security. So I know, Peter, you and I have talked about this, and I know at your age, being a young man, you're worried about Social Security being there.
Absolutely. In previous conversations, not only have we touched upon that, upon whether, hey, listen, is Social Security going to be available in as little as 10 to 15 years' time? Is it going to provide me with the relief that it does my counterparts, my septuagenarian friends at this juncture? And that's a question that leaves a great room, a deal of room for doubt, particularly when you take, when you do things like add on $6 trillion in debt all at once, right? But you made reference to a point a couple of weeks back that struck a chord with me when you said that there are two types of taxpayers, the informed or tax codes, one for the informed and one for the uninformed. And that generally the ones that are uninformed will not only pay more in taxes, but they will fail to prepare for their retirement and capitalize on opportunities for preserving funds, not just in taxes, but otherwise, than they would have if they were informed. And perhaps you can speak to that a bit.
Well, how do you get informed is one of the issues. And of course, most people rely on, when it comes to the tax code and interpreting the tax code, they rely on the CPAs, and that's fine. CPAs have great knowledge of the tax code and how the tax code works. However, there's an element in the tax code, just as there are many elements in the tax code, which are specialized elements. And one of the specialized elements is this area of the tax code 664. And that specialization is now a part of a course in the financial planning education that's given by the American College, which is a chartered advisor in philanthropy. And that chartered advisor in philanthropy designation includes, in order to get that, you have to get you have to become familiar with and know how to use the sections of the tax code that deal with charitable planning and charitable devices. The government understands that, you know, they've always, the charitable deduction has always been there. The government supports charitable giving. The reason that they give you a tax deduction for charitable giving is because they want you to do it. Social charity is a little bit different than a direct gift to charity, because social charity means that you are going to benefit from it as well as the charity is going to benefit from it. And that's the difference between social charity and just charity. You can give in a lot of different ways. Charity is giving a handout to somebody on the street. You can put money into the Salvation Army's bell and into their pot. That's charity and that's giving. But there's also philanthropy, and philanthropy is a little different than just charity and giving, because philanthropy is a little bit more thought out. It's more long term. It has more benefits to mankind over the long term. So when we talk about philanthropy and philanthropic planning, we're talking about how to do something effective in the future, and something that you can actually follow and monitor and see how well you're doing, because you can do it while you're alive. You don't have to wait until your death. A lot of people think that philanthropy is making a bequest in a will, and it is. Of course, if you leave something to charity in your will, the charity is happy when they get the check, and that's wonderful. However, it's a little bit hard to have that guaranteed. It's not going to be a guaranteed thing to the charity, and the individual that does that by bequest doesn't get a tax deduction while they're alive, and they also don't get to see the benefit of their work. So there's a lot of reasons why philanthropy is different than a charitable bequest even. The philanthropic planning process is much more in depth, and it involves using these social charity devices. So being an informed taxpayer is, you're informed about these devices, that they exist and that they can be used in certain circumstances. So where you have the possibility of a long-term capital gain, you have excessive personal income, and you want to do something to blunt the taxes on those things, you can use these devices. This is the Endow America Network. My guest host is Peter Mendez, and we've been talking about Social Security, Endow America, the paradigm shift, 664, not war. These are all things that we want to engage you in learning and finding out more about. So, you know, stay tuned to these podcasts, and we'll see you again shortly.
The clock is ticking.
We need to do something about the deficit. This is the Dow American Network. We want you to join, become a contributor, learn how to use Social Security. Go to the website, socialsecharity.org. It's going to help to solve the problem that we have with regard to government overspending. It'll also solve community problems. I'm Les Winston. Peter, how do you like this process?
It's everything that Social Security should have been and is not.
This is the next generation's Social Security. Go to the website, socialsecharity.org.